Everybody at your table is going through something or has been through something, and we have found that when we connect together, we are actually stronger and better than when we're by ourselves. And so our aim and our goal here is to connect you first with Jesus Christ and then to connect you with each other. Because if you can have a strong community of girls in your life that love you and believe in you and are your cheerleaders and that you're their cheerleaders, then guess what? You're going to get through whatever it is you're going through. And not only are you going to get through it, but you're actually going to bring the kingdom of God and bring the miracle-working power of the kingdom of heaven into your world and into your life. And like they were saying this morning, I don't know if Elle talked to you about it or not, but maybe Pastor Sue did, but one woman will influence at least, how many people?
10 people in 2 days.
10 people in 2 days, and that's minimum. I mean, if you got the big mouth like I do, you're going to go a whole lot further than that, you know. On the phone, in the grocery store, can't shut up. So, and just think about how many people that we're going to influence in here today just by our gathering together and hearing the word of God and getting strong and getting right with God. So we need each other and we need to connect together. And so that's what Girlfriends is about. And it's our time. It's all about women. We're going to do messages from the word of God, but they are women based because I'm living as a woman in a man's world. Can I get an amen on that? Hello? So I need to learn how to operate in the kingdom of God and do it right and be savvy with the men in my life and love the sons, not hate them, not want to kill them, not want to beat them up, not want to be forever bruised because they screwed up and did something to my life. Hello? Hello? And I want to learn to love the daughters of the house and to be a great mom, a great wife, a great friend, a great whatever it is that God's wrapped you in and whatever it is that you do when you walk out those doors. And so that's what this is about. So welcome. We're glad you're here. Where are you new ones? Where's your darling little hands? There you are. Welcome, welcome. So we're glad you're here. So you're going to be at the tables today, and here's the thing about the tables. I know I'm just kind of chatting with you right now, which I do before I start. When you get to the tables, it's impossible to say the wrong thing, but let me just say this. Everybody has a right to their opinions, but it's not always right to share them. Oh, so let's be loving and good to each other and believe in each other, and you're going to have a great time at the tables. Amen. Amen. So why don't you just take your Bible, if you brought it today, and why don't you stand with me? And if your chairs are not turned around, turn them around because I can be a big pain in the neck naturally. I don't need you craning like this to try to see me. Oh, there's the dry erase board. Wonderful. So let's pray. You got your Bible? You got your sword? This is the Word of God. It is actually our manual, basic instructions before leaving Earth. Have we all heard that one? That's a great one, right? But this is God's instructions to us for living life His way and doing life God's way, the way God wants us to do it. This book is His love letters to us, and He's talking to us and giving us instructions. And He loves the fact that we've gathered together. And the Holy Spirit is here to teach us. And Jesus is praying for us, the great high shepherd. So, Father, here we are gathered together again. What a privilege to be here in this house. What a privilege to be the house of God. That you indwell us and that we are the actual road that you travel through on this earth. That you wear us as we wear you, Father. So thank you for today. Thank you for the word of God. Open our eyes. Give us a spirit of wisdom and of revelation knowledge in this today, Father. Let us get something out of today, Father, that we can remember and put to use in our everyday lives, in our everyday paths, where we walk and where we live. And Father, may we be the light that shines in the darkness, and may we be women that glow in the dark, and may we be all that you want us to be, and may we learn to love each other, learn to be great gatherers of women. Learn to bring in those that need to be here into the house of God to get them saved and get them straightened out and get them strengthened, Lord. We just pray for the women of our valley, and we just bless them in Jesus' name. And we ask, Father, for opportunities to shine our light into their world and into their lives. And we ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we are going today to start a series called Glowing in the Dark. So, I want to look with you at some passages of Scripture. And before I do, I want to introduce the topic and the subject, glow in the dark. Now, tonight is Girlfriends PM. And there has been a rumor, and some of the girls are not here this morning because they're coming tonight. And there's been a rumor that how come we're not doing everything this morning that we're doing tonight? And the reason is because we didn't think of it. But next time, there's only 4 women PMs in the whole year. So we make it a little bit special because the girls that are working don't have the opportunity to come here. Not that you're not working. You're all working, doing something. But they can't come to the AM. And so I feel like with you, you're my crew, you're my team, you're the ones that I really connect with, you're the ones that I get to open the Word with. We can do series here. We can dig into the Word of God together, and we can take our time, and if we go overboard, if we go too long, we'll just stop it and go next week. I can't do that with them. So they're going to get a synopsis of what I want to start with you, and then if I'm not here, because Jim and I are on a bit of a sabbatical, just because Pastor's Conference is coming up in just 3 weeks. So we've gotten away so we can seek the Lord and hear what we need to say to the pastors that are coming. I think there's about 140 churches that are being represented that are coming. And so we really want to prepare ourselves. And so we're pushing out the next generation to step up and start taking leadership. And it's good. So I won't be here next week, but Pastor Sue or Pastor Eleanor or one of the team will, and I will be giving them part 2. Okay? So you get back here next week. Whether I'm here or not, it doesn't matter because the Holy Spirit is, right? So, if you've got your Bibles, I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 5. And Jesus is talking and teaching, and of course it's the great chapter about the Beatitudes, the attitudes of success in the kingdom of God. And what I wanted to say is, there's 2 kingdoms at work. Now, as a teacher, I teach in the Bible college the kingdom of God, the king in the kingdom. The reason I've developed that class and the reason I teach that class is because when I became a Christian, I was raised up in a church, fell away for 10 years, went into drugs and the whole thing. And, you know, I'm 62 years old, so obviously that was way back in the dark ages of the hippie days. But when I went through all that, I didn't understand the kingdom of God. I didn't understand anything about Christianity except I thought God had a lot of rules that I didn't like as a young woman. Has anybody been there? Much to my dismay, that path that I took was into the kingdom of darkness and a lot of sin and a lot of heartache and a lot of trouble. Can I get a witness in this house? All right. So when I came to the kingdom, when I came back to Jesus Christ, and I lived in a house ministry in Calvary Chapel in Santa Barbara for about 6 months or 9 months, and married Jim, and off we went to build houses in Lake Arrowhead, and it's a long story, but anyway, somehow we got here. We never thought we'd be pastors. We are the most unlikely people to ever pastor anything. But here we are 30 years later still pastoring a wonderful church in a very difficult place. I've learned some things about the kingdom of God. And I've understood that if I don't know what the rules, what the laws, and how to operate in the kingdom, the domain and the reign and the rule and the regency of the king, then I'm going to be back in this kingdom of darkness, and this is where I fail because this is the flesh. This is the old nature. So when you and I got saved, God translated us out of the kingdom of darkness, Colossians 1:13. And he translated us, he brought us into the kingdom of his dear son. So Satan no longer has dominion over us. He no longer can keep me bound and tied up. We know this. But knowing it and experiencing it are 2 separate things, right? I can be a Christian, but I can be very unsuccessful. I can be depressed. I can be discouraged. I can be disappointed. I can be all of the negative things that Satan wants in my life instead of being all that God has called me to be and live an amazing, abundant life, because Jesus said in John 10:10, I've come to give you life and give it to you abundantly. So eternal life, the God kind of life, the Zoe life, the life that exists in and by itself that gives us life, that life begins the moment you get born again. But my question to you this morning is, how is that life going? Now, sometimes because of personality or looks, or it's not a level playing field, is it? Beautiful women get more things than ugly women. You're all looking at me like, I can't believe you said that. Well, let's talk about the elephant in the room, can we? Because the elephant is here, right? Now, in my world, there's no such thing as an ugly woman. It's impossible for you to be ugly. But that doesn't mean you don't think you're ugly. That doesn't mean you don't like yourself. That doesn't mean that you have the opportunity to look at your life and look at somebody else's life and say, why can't my life be like that? How come I can't have that husband? How come I wasn't born in this situation? We can all do that, can't we? And we can all, no matter how good life gets, you can always find something wrong because we live in a fallen world. So my goal here at Girlfriends and in this series is to bring us into a place where we actually are successful. We stop comparing, stop complaining, stop being discouraged, stop being depressed, stop being disappointed, because there's lots of opportunities to be disappointed in this life. Prayers don't always get answered the way we think they should. We prayed for Jesse's cousin, Dan's cousin. She's 38 years old and she had cancer. And we prayed for a miracle. She has 3 kids and she went home yesterday. Jesse called me crying. I mean, that's not a good report. But the better report is that she has stepped into eternal life, everlasting. She's not dead. She's more alive than she's ever been. And her kids will be under the grace of God, sanctified by the word of God. Her husband and her children will be okay, even though I don't understand why God didn't do what we asked him to do. We have opportunities to be disappointed. We have opportunities to stop praying. We have opportunities to stop believing. We have opportunities to get petty, self-absorbed. And you know, that thing about being self-absorbed, all that means is that you're focusing on yourself. It doesn't mean that you're trying to be a bad person. It doesn't mean that you don't love people, but it means that you think about you more than you think about others. And I can get so self-absorbed, it's scary. Can anybody else do that? I can worry about this, 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 and this. I can think about this, 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 and this. And before you know it, I'm kind of depressed. I'm kind of discouraged. Looking around at life thinking, well, God. And I don't even realize that I'm self-absorbed and I'm back in the flesh because my mind is fixed on me and not on him. Are you with me?
Amen.
So today, we're going to look at two kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God. And we're going to look at being glow-in-the-dark women. In other words, we're going to shine in the darkest places because that's where we live. And God has a plan and a purpose for us. And he wants you and I to shine. So in Matthew chapter 5, he says in verse 14, 15, and 16, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I want you to watch this video about letting your light shine in the kingdom of God. Put this in the way.
Thank you.
on, letting our light shine.
Now look, Jesus said, and let me read this to you in the Message, and I don't know if you have this up on the Message, but this is what it says in the Message Bible. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors of the world, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If you make you, as public as a city on a hill, if I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. You know, what a thought to think that here we are as women, and God's called us to bring out the God colors in the world. The God colors. I mean, have you ever thought that you see color like your husband doesn't, or your sons in your life and the men in your life? I was just putting pillows on our bed. I mean, I've been making pillows, you know, just obsessing over making all these pillows. I don't know where I'm going to put them all, but I've just been having fun. So I've been making the little cord, you know, that goes around the pillow and the ruffle and all of that. And so I took a picture of it, and my son was at our house, and I said, now you got to make this bed because the realtors are coming to look at the house because it's for sale. I said, please put the pillows back the way the picture shows, because I knew he wouldn't. So I went, and Jim said, oh, yeah, no. We did everything just like you want us to. I went in there, and every pillow was backwards. You know the little cording around the pillow? Excuse me, but you know how it's, you know, like I usually have an accent, and that's there because you want it to be seen, right? Are you with me? Yeah. You know, we see that, they don't. Now, that may seem like a silly thing, but it's the details and the colors. And it's all of the design thing that goes through your life all the time. You don't even think about it. You take it for granted, your gift of femininity. You don't even realize it. And God's made you to bring out the God colors in this world. Because you are a woman of God. It's a pretty amazing thing. That's just such a small little thing. But God's called us. The Lord's called us. He says, I'm like a city on a hill. Now, a city on a hill, what is it going to do? Okay, go to your tables right now. We're just going to take a break. Go to your tables. And I'm just going to play it by ear. Is that all right? Turn around. Look at each other. For 2 minutes. And I want you to come up with, what is a city on a hill? And when you think of letting your light shine, 3 things that you think of before we get any further. Okay? So talk. Do what you do well. Turn around. I know this is a little off course, but that's all right. We're having fun today. Is that okay? Let's break it up a little. 3 things when you think about letting your light shine. And what is a city on a hill? Because I'm going to come back and give you a test. Okay, we're on a clock. I'm giving you 60 seconds. 1,001, 1,002, 1,003. No laughing or enjoyment at all allowed. Okay, let's wrap it up. Turn your chairs around. Stand up, sit down. Okay, 3 things when you think of letting your light shine. Let me just take some tables, just table leaders. Okay, yes. Standing out. It can be seen from far away. So a city on a hill at night with the light shining can be seen far away, right? Is that not true? Okay, because remember, this is, he's teaching and he's looking and he's pointing to probably one of the cities that he's come out of to teach. He's in the Galilee and he's teaching. And there's light shining at night. A city on a hill is going to stand out, right? Okay, give me what light shining, what does that mean? Yes, Christy. Generous, generosity. Generous with what, Christy? Beautiful. Okay, so generosity. Generosity of our time. Generosity of our resource. Willing to live life interrupted, right? Okay, how about something else? Yes.
Giving
It doesn't matter who's looking, it still provides direction. Excellent. Whether you think anybody's looking at the light or not, they are. Now, are we leaving? Are we going to a better table? Move over there. We are girls here. We can move the furniture any way we want. We can nurse our babies here. I don't care. Let's just get the word and have fun. Is that all right? Let's just be God girls together. Glow in the dark girls. Yeah. Manifesting is light. Not manifesting, you know, the darkness. All right, let's have a couple more. Who else? A table. Yes. A beacon. A beacon that's what?
Inviting.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Good. I think I just broke this. There we go. Okay. How about over here? Yes.
Hope.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Somebody else? Yes.
Strong.
Okay.
Perfect.
You, darling?
Welcoming.
Okay. Janice?
A desire to explore.
What happens when you're in the darkness? Okay, is it possible at all to turn the lights off? Can we turn all the lights off for just a second? Turn the lights all the way off. Everything off. Okay, now how well can you see me? Can you see me? You can see my shadow, my form, but can you see my details? At my age, that may not be bad. But seriously, okay, turn the lights back on. What happens in the dark? We can't see. Can we work in the dark?
No.
Can we grow in the dark?
No.
Do things grow in darkness?
No.
How many of you have ever planted and it's been in the shade and it's not grown? What happens? It dies, right? So there's something about light, isn't there? Did you notice that the first thing in Genesis chapter 1? Go there with me. Like I said, with you I can play and we can just study. Is that all right if we're not in a hurry? Because this concept of light is huge. It's the first thing in creation. Genesis chapter 1, this is not on the overhead. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. What was on the face of the deep? And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, so the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, he's not talking about yet the sun or the moon or the stars, is he? He's talking about what? Night and day, darkness and light. Satan's kingdom, his rebellion, separating it from his light. The earth was destroyed. The earth was void. And the Spirit of God is hovering over the waters. And the first thing God does is he separates the light from the darkness. God is light, and in him there is no shadow of turning. So darkness represents night, and night represents what? Do you know? All right, light represents day, and Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Okay, that's good. Let's try another one. I am the light of
life.
So what represents life? Light. What grows in the sunshine? What represents darkness? That's right. So darkness is represented by death. And death, in the biblical sense, is separation. Death is not a ceasing to exist, because nowhere do we ever cease to exist as human beings. We are made in the image of God, which is eternal. We're made to live forever. Our spirit is not going to cease to exist. But our spirit is either going to dwell in the everlasting light or it's going to dwell in the eternal darkness. It's going to be separated from God in hell, where there is no God. Absolute darkness, depravity, hell, or it's going to be in the presence of God living under his light. So just to look at concepts, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Jesus said, I am the light of life. If you believe in me, you will have light. If we walk in the light, John wrote, as he is in the light, we will have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ephesians chapter 5, let's look at it. Go with me. Light, light, something we take for granted because every day we wake up and we look at the sunshine. Ephesians 5, 8. Ephesians 5, 6. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as women of light. That word is children, but I'm putting us in there as feminine. For we were once darkness, but now we are light. Walk as children of the light. In the revelation of Jesus Christ, in the book of Revelation, when John the Revelator is having an image and he's seeing this amazing vision, and he sees Jesus, and Jesus is holding a lampstand in his hand, and there are seven stars in the lampstand, and the lampstand represents the churches. There are seven churches. And those stars are the pastors of those churches. And he's writing letters to his church. So the church is the lampstand that carries the light of life, Jesus Christ. And as I understand him, and as I follow him, and as I walk in the light, as he is in the light, his light then reflects on me and through me and out to the world. There's a shining, like God separated the light from the darkness. And all of a sudden you can see your life and my life when I get up in the morning, when I am ready to face the world. My life is shining the kingdom of God. It is outraying and it is exposing the world that is in darkness to something they haven't seen. And it's called light. Everything says something on this planet. God made creation to declare his glory. When the sun comes out and it rises in the morning and it's called day and it sets at night when we can't work. Now we can because we have electricity. But remember when this was written 2,000 years ago, when the sun went down, labor was over and you went in your house and you had little lamps like Aladdin lamps with oil and wick. That's how you lived. Girls, he says, we are, can I have that up again, Matthew chapter 5? Because this is the beginning of this thing. I'm probably only going to get to one point about how to shine your light today. And then we're going to go on. Is that all right? But this week, we take everything sometimes for granted because we are born on this planet and it's all we know. But just look at the sun. Try to stare into the sun. You can't. And that's just one little star in our galaxy. 93 million miles away from us. And that's just that is the smallest star in our galaxy, as we saw with Louis Giglio. But Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light, you, my darlings, have your own light of God, your own unique testimony, your own unique gifting, your own unique life, your influence, all that you're going to do and all that you're going to accomplish for God. It's all written down, and God has illuminated you. He has ignited you, and he said, let your light so shine before men, before humanity, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. In other words, God says that my life actually fleshes out and walks out the goodness of God in my everyday world. And I love what you said, that light shines. How did you say that? It still provides direction. And did you know light travels at 186,000 miles per second? So a light year is 186,000 miles per second times seconds and years, which is, I don't know how many millions that is. It's 5.333 something or other million miles. It's a figure beyond what we can wrap our minds around. That's how fast light travels. And did you know that light travels in a straight line? Light does not wave like this, like sound waves or radio waves. It is straight as an arrow. It travels straight. Look it up. It's electromagnetic whatever. I mean, I'm not a physicist. And I know there are scientists in here, so I'm being very careful not to really screw this up. But blonde grandma, very scary with science. Okay. Light travels in a straight path. You and I are called to shine the light in the straight way of Jesus Christ, whether we think anybody's looking or not, and God says they are. Let your light so shine. Let your life so be lived out that when people see you, when people are with you, whether it's at the grocery store, whether it's at the bank, whether you're shopping, you know, downtown LA, like I was on Monday, whether you are at your job, whether you are babysitting your grandchildren or changing a diaper on your newborn, whatever it is you're doing, your light has the power and the ability to shine the kingdom of God and the power of God and the goodness of God wherever you go. And people are watching, and that light shines in their hearts. So, the million-dollar question is, how do I shine my light? And how do I understand the pitfalls of things that are going to extinguish and diminish the light that God wants me to shine in my world? Because one day, you and I are going to be done. It's over. Eyes are going to close. Spirits are going to leave these little clay bodies. We're going to get brand new bodies. And we're going to meet him. And our life is going to pass through the fires of his love. And from that judgment seat for a Christian is going to come rewards, crowns, crowns of righteousness. There's a shepherd's crown. There's seven different crowns. And we are going to take these crowns and we're going to lay them at his feet. They're our gift back to him. And I want to have something to lay at his feet when I go home. Because I realize that this is a temporary assignment and I'm here for a short time. And I don't want to mess up because I don't get to come back. So how do I let my light shine? Because the kingdom of darkness, which represents death, and the kingdom of God, which represents life, I have the two options. Satan wants me to live here, distinguish my light, dim it. God wants me to shine brighter and brighter and brighter as we get closer and closer to his coming. So I want to give you some things this morning in the next probably 10 minutes. I'm just going to maybe just give you two things, all right? And then we'll go from there next week. So let's look at this. Go with me now to Matthew chapter 6, because I think it's all laid out right here in this chapter. How do I let my light shine? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine all the time. Don't let Satan it out. I'm going to let it shine. Do you remember that song? How do we let that light shine? Where's Tina when you need her? Chapter 6 of Matthew. Look with me at verse 24. No, it's not verse 24. Oh, I'm in Mark. No wonder I can't find it. Matthew chapter 6. Look at verse 22, I believe it's 22. Here we go. The lamp of the body. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So, again, everything says something. The way God made my physical body is the way God made my spiritual body. What do I have in my physical body? Eyes. What do eyes do? They see. If you can't see, where are you? You're blind, and if you're blind, you're in the dark, right? And if you're in the dark, you stumble, right? He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be filled with light. If you can see well, then you're going to be able to manage, right? Be successful. Walking on this planet, doing what you're supposed to do. Physically, right? If your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? He switches over now and he's talking about the eyes of your spirit. Because it says in Proverbs that the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. So my spirit has eyes. My spirit has faith eyes, or it has fear eyes. My spirit sees. You've heard us say a million times, the just shall live by faith. And if you cannot see the invisible, you will never be able to do the impossible. Abraham saw his son Isaac raised from the dead when he's marching up to Mount Moriah. That's why he could take Isaac up there and do what God told him to do. He saw him raised from the dead. He saw it where? He saw it in his heart, in his spirit. His eyes of faith saw what God had already promised him, that in Isaac your seed will be called. You'll be the father of many nations. He knew that Isaac was going to have to survive and live for that promise to come to pass. And he knew that God's word cannot fail, so he could march up to Mount Moriah and sacrifice the promise to God, knowing that if God had to, he would raise Isaac from the dead. God said, Isaac is not going to die up there on that mountain. And he said, don't kill your son. Now I know that you will obey me. And in blessing, I will bless you. And your seed will inherit the gates of his enemies and possess the gate of his enemies. But God tested Abraham's heart. Did God know what Abraham was going to do? Yes, foresight and aftersight. But Abraham didn't. You and I, every day, are going to have to learn to see with the good eyes of my spirit. Just like my physical eyes. If my physical eyes are going dim and if I get blind, I can't function in a physical world very well. I'm handicapped. If my spirit eyes aren't seeing clearly, I can't function in the kingdom of God. I will be back in the kingdom of darkness, stumbling around, depressed, discouraged, wondering where God is, wondering what happened, and there is no light shining and nobody wants to come to the light of my life. Because my light isn't shining. Now, he's about to lay some things out here about how to let your light shine. Are you with me? So he goes and he says, let's look at this. He goes on to the same thought. No one, verse 24, can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. How do I let my light shine? Number one, I'm going to have to turn on my light. I'm going to have to light it up. Now that may seem simplistic, but let's look at that verse. It's all one thought. Kingdom of God. He says, no man can serve two masters. Why? Because we'll be divided. We're either going to love one and hate the other. We can't serve God and mammon. Now mammon is the word for riches. The systems of this world. The money systems. The political systems. The government of man. In other words, that system can be our God. It can run my world. I can give my time, my attention, and my focus to the systems of this world. I was getting my teeth done yesterday, getting a cleaning. I'm reading a Money magazine. And there in Money magazine, it's telling me, at my age and Jim's age, how much money we should have for retirement, 8 times our salary. I looked at that and I laughed and I said, oh, there's not a snowball's chance in hell that's ever going to happen. We don't have it. And everything we had was in real estate, and you know what happened to real estate in the Inland Empire. So I had a choice. I had a choice. I could think about what we don't have in the systems of this world and what the experts tell me, or I could switch over to the kingdom of God and what God tells me. Are you hearing me? This may seem simplistic, but it's not, because it's where we live every day. So point number one, I've got to turn on the light. What does that mean? It means that I've got to make a choice. Am I going to serve God or mammon? Now you say, oh, I'm not serving mammon. Really? Then what are you thinking about? What rules your world? What runs your life? Is it worry about finances? Is it how you know, Solomon said money answers to everything. Money is the answer to many, many problems. If you have money, you will not have the problems if you don't have money. Nobody will be knocking on your door, kicking you out of your apartment. Nobody will be shutting off your electricity. You will not be in a food line because you don't have enough money to pay for groceries. I went to the grocery store yesterday, and what was a $5.89 for a chicken at Albertsons is now today $6.89. Are you with me?
I have the ability in my world to constantly give my attention and my focus and my work to mammon, or I can give my attention and my focus to God and His Word. I'm going to have to settle it. That's where my light begins to shine. I got to turn it on. So my question is, where are you? Where are you every day? In your thoughts, God knows what you're thinking. God knows where we are. He's not surprised. He's not going, oh my gosh, I didn't see that coming. Look at Pastor Deborah. He knows. And sometimes, if I'm really going to look at this light thing and life that's in it, Lord, where am I living? Am I living letting mammon rule me? The systems of this world? What the news says? What they say about Social Security? What they say about welfare? What they say about this? What they say about the rich? What they say about the poor? Am I going to listen to this rhetoric of the world? Or I'm going to listen to what God says. He's either God or He isn't. He's either in charge of my salvation and my eternity or He's not. He can either keep me forever or I might as well give it all up because this is all a joke. He's either strong enough to keep my life doing what it is supposed to be doing every day I walk on this planet, or He's not God and He's not my God and I am bowing to something else. Where are you and where am I? I got to turn it on and settle it. Girls, settle it. Make a choice and stick with it and settle it. How do I shine? I got to turn it on. Settle it. Number two. Let's go back. Matthew chapter 6. You with me? Am I boring you? We're almost done. I'm going to do one more and then we're going to quit. How do I let my light shine? What happens when my light shines? What did He say? When they see your what? Good works. Your life. God's will, God's way. When I am working my life, God's will, God's way, they see it and it will draw and they'll glorify God, right? Okay. So, let's look and see what He says. How do I let my light shine? I got to go back to Matthew chapter 6 because I closed my Bible. Turn on the light. Number two, let's look at verse 25. Refuse, or outlaw, is the word I used, outlaw worry. This is going to dim my light faster than anything. You can snap your fingers and you can start worrying and all of a sudden, boom, there goes the light. Suddenly you're back in the kingdom of darkness. All right, let's look what He says. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? So right there, God says to me, do not worry. Do not worry. Oh, Lord, it is so easy to read that, but it is so hard to do that. Because worry creeps in. It's insidious and it's sneaky. Now God says the just shall live by faith, right? Faith is a substance of things, a substance of things. Hope. Hope is the architect of faith. I'm building a house. By faith, I'm building a house. I have the architectural renderings. I have the plans drawn up. We have paid an architect to build this house because Jim and I have a business plan. On this rendering, there's probably 25 pages of architectural drawings. Everything that that house is going to need on it and in it is in those drawings. Somebody's going to read those plans and they're going to build that house. Where there was nothing, there will be a beautiful French country home. Now we'd like to sell it because we've got a plan. In this market, crazy, isn't it? But God. But anyway. But God. But anyway. Listen, why should we stop because it's recession? At least we're going to ask, seek, and knock, and that goes on. But listen, hope is the blueprint of faith. Hope is the architectural drawing of what you are believing God for. If you can see it inside, you can have it on the outside. Your eye of faith. If your eyes are sound, you'll be able to believe God. If your eyes are dark, great is your darkness, right? Spirit eyes. So, He says, don't worry. Now, worry is to the kingdom of darkness, fear, the system that Satan operates in, what hope is to faith. Are you with me?
When I am worrying, I am imagining horrible visions of what can happen. That's what worry is. What if? And suddenly, you get a little scene on the inside. My gosh, my children. You know, you worry about, are they going to live? Your child gets sick. Your husband, is he going to be faithful? Are we going to have enough money? And here comes this little architectural drawing of what fear says, the worst case scenario, what fear says can be in your life. Are you hearing me? We are creatures made in the image of God. God has put on the inside of us the ability to imagine, the ability to dream, the ability to create, women. That is why for us to be downtrodden, depressed, discouraged, disappointed is a waste of our God time, because God's made us in His image, and He said, if you can believe, all things are possible. Your light will shine. So Jesus says right here, are you worried? Don't worry. Let's read on. He forbids me to worry. Why? Because He knows it is the anti-hope of Satan in the kingdom of darkness. And just as hope paints a positive picture of the promise of God, worry will paint a negative picture of the promise of darkness, the system of fear that He rules this planet in. Fear, doubt, and unbelief to disengage me from the power of God. Because faith is a substance of things hoped for. Faith is God's economic system whereby I take my faith and I release it to God. And that faith goes into the supernatural realm of heaven, the kingdom of God. We are living in the kingdom of God. We are on this planet. But He said, fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Let your light shine. Worry will stop it. Worry will dim it. Worry will put a bushel over your light. Faith goes forward. That faith reaches into God's realm and takes what we have been promised and brings it in to the natural world and brings the kingdom of God into our natural corporeal world. But hope is the blueprint, and worry is the blueprint of fear. So what does Jesus say? He says, don't worry. He said, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap. Look at the lilies of the field. Now remember, we taught in Proverbs 31, clothing. This is a Marshall's jacket for $25 or $15 or something. Cheap. Well, you know, I mean, it's not $100. It's a cheap jacket. I couldn't make it for that. It's pretty cute, isn't it? It's where I shop Marshall's. Okay. Ross, Tuesday morning. I love downtown L.A. Okay. An earrings packet right here. Here we go. Okay. Where was I? Okay. Clothing. We can buy clothes for so cheap. People come from Australia and I take them downtown LA. They can't believe how cheap clothes are here. They're not that cheap in Australia. When Jesus spoke this, why do you worry about clothing? It took you, remember, you had to spin your wool, or you had to beat your flax, then you had to spin the yarn, then you had to weave the cloth, and then you had to sew the garment. So a garment of clothes took a long time to make. Your time, which is what we have to spend on this planet, is our time, right? We don't get it back. So people were concerned about clothing. When you had a rip in something that you had spun, made the thread, wove it, and then sewed it, and there was a rip in it, you patched it, because guess what? You didn't have the time to spin again, weave again, and sew it again. You didn't have a lot of garments. So clothing was a big deal, because you didn't want to walk around naked. And it was cold without your cloak. Today, in our 21st century, we think of clothing as not a big deal. But to them, it was everything. Eating. They didn't just go to the grocery store. There was no welfare. There was no food stamps. There wasn't grocery stores. Man, you wanted to eat, guess what? You had to plant. You had to plant your crops. You had to carry the water to water them. You had to harvest them. And then you had to dry them out. I remember when I was in Africa, we were at a market in Tanzania. And there were fish that were salted and dried. It was a very primitive place. And there were these massive fish that they'd caught in this lake. And they had salted them and they dried them. They were flat as a pancake, and they were selling them to stacks of salted fish like they did 2,000 years ago. Lived a lot different then. And so they were worried about being naked
and about having something to feed their children. It was a legitimate, everyday, absolute need. And Jesus said, why are you worried? Your heaven, look at the creation I've made. It's shouting to you. The birds are eating. The flowers are fantastic. Have you ever checked out the colors? The color combinations are historic. Like, God, how did you think of that? It is magnificent. He says, look, like you look at the light. Look, your Father feeds them. How much more important are you than they? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. God's way of doing and living. Do it God's way. Seek it first, He said in Matthew 6:33. And all these things will be added unto you. And this is what He says. Go down with me. Verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. If you want your light to shine this morning, two things. I'm going to have to turn it on. Who am I giving my attention to? Who am I serving with my emotions, my thoughts, my time, and my energy? Is it the system of this world, mammon, or is it God? Because He's either going to take care of me or He's not. I'm either going to set my mind on that or I'm going to set my mind on the things of this world. If I have a divided mind, an divided mind is a mind of doubt and unbelief, and nothing will happen in my life. My light cannot shine in unbelief and doubt. It can't. Because I'm back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Settle it. Draw a line in the sand, girls. Settle it. He's either God or He's not God. And if He's God, then girls, you don't have to worry, because part two, outlaw worry. It sneaks in. You don't even know you're worrying. You just, uncomfortable. As soon as that happens in your life, as soon as that thing starts to come up in you, that is anti-hope. It is the picture of fear. And you say, in the name of Jesus, you foul thing, I rebuke you. I cast you down. I break every power and every assignment against that now. I thank you, God. And you begin to rehearse and recite what God has said about that situation. And you diminish and outlaw worry. And you let hope come in and paint a picture. If I don't live in hope, I am discouraged. I'm depressed and I'm disappointed. And women that don't have hope will not draw anybody to themselves, because we're so stinking negative that who wants to be around us? Amen. You still love me?
Amen.
Listen, I can be so negative that Jim says, woman, go get with God until you can come back with something positive and say, I don't want to talk to you. I can worry about everything. That's why I can talk to you like this. That's why we are women here together. We have a superhighway. Men, they got the waffle thing going on. You know, the compartments? They put everything in a compartment. You have a fight with them, they can go to bed and actually go to sleep while you're stewing. No, they are actually in their sleep compartment and they are not thinking about it. They have that empty compartment, you know? That place where they go, where you ask them what they're thinking and they say nothing. They're in the empty compartment. There is nothing there. We don't get that compartment. No, we're thinking, thinking, thinking all the time. Man, our superhighway is going like this, you know. Shoo, 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 shoo. And we got it on, you know, cruise control. We are just going back and forth. It is harder for us. God made us with amazing gifts and redeemed. They are incredible. We can show off the colors of God to our world like the men never will be able to, because it takes both of us to show God. But we can worry like nobody's business. And if you don't got something to worry about, you can worry for somebody else. You can worry for your kids. You can worry for your grandchildren. You can worry for your church. You can worry about, you know, your neighbor. And God says, stop it. Outlaw it. It's anti-hope. It will attract no one. It will make you negative, depressed, discouraged. If you're discouraged or depressed or negative or disappointed right now, I can guarantee you, you have been living in the world of worry. Try not to. And oh, here's this one. You know, as Christians, we know we're not supposed to worry. We know we're supposed to be at peace. So when we're anxious and we're worrying, then we feel so guilty. Oh, God. You know? So now there's condemnation that comes with the worry. It's like this whole packet comes with it.
And Jesus says, stop. Just stop, girls. Take a walk and go find some flowers. Go hear some birds. That's why I won't let them take the bird's nest down on this property. Yeah, I won't. You know, the maintenance just like to wring my little neck, you know, because, God, there's, you know, bird poo-poo everywhere. So, you know, watch out below because, you know, here it comes. But you know what? We need to hear the birds. We need to hear the bird song. We need to be reminded that he made the birds as a sign to us that if he takes care of them, he's so much more going to take care of us. We have flowers all around the fountain. You should go look at them and just stop and look at the colors if there's no flowers in your world. And if there aren't any flowers in your world, find a little patch and plant some. I have this little tiny garden of flowers, and I just go nuts in it. I just love to get dirty. I get so dirty. My hands get so dirty, I can't get the dirt out. But it's like a little girl playing in mud, you know? I just love it. And I just love to see these blossoms just spilling out everywhere. And just like, just as a lovely mess is what it is. But I am just astounded. I'm astounded at the color combinations and the smells. I mean, only God can make something so beautiful and then give it fragrance. What's he doing? He's reminding me, child, you're mine. I love you. I made the universe. Why are you worried about this little life right now? I want you on the kingdom. I want you thinking about how your light can shine because there's people in darkness. And if you're focused on your problems, your troubles, and if you're focused on you, you're not going to get out and let the light shine and do what you're supposed to do. That's what he's saying to us, girls. So, hey, we are in this together. I am no different than you. And every season of life brings new challenges. And I have found that the better things get, I can still find things to complain about, things to worry about. You know, it's like this problem gets fixed, this problem, and then here, you know, I can worry about something else now. It's a never-ending story. So two things this morning as we start this series. Turn it on. Turn on the light, girls. If your light is dim right now or extinguished, if you've been going through some really tough times, my gosh. Isaiah wrote, a bruised reed he will not break. And a smoldering flax, and a flax was the candle wick. A smoldering flax. That flax has gone out, so it's just smoldering. Have you just seen a candle just smoldering? He said, a smoldering wick he will not extinguish. Maybe right now you're saying, oh God, my wick is out. It's smoldering right now. You have no idea what I've been living, what I've been going through, the things that I'm facing right now in my life. I'm so afraid, I'm frightened, I'm worried, yes, I know I'm not supposed to be, so now I feel even worse. Listen, your God is saying, my darling, take a walk today. Listen for the bird song. Look at the flowers. Seek the kingdom and all these things that you need. I know what you need. He knows what we need. All of these things I'm going to add to your life. But you've got to learn, first of all, that worry is an outlaw. And it's from the kingdom of darkness. You can't allow it in your life. Replace it with hope. And if you can't see a picture of hope, then you get with a girlfriend that can. And you let her pray for you. And you begin to start seeing, start imaging a different life. Start seeing yourself not broke. Start seeing yourself healthy. Start seeing yourself reinventing yourself through the kingdom of God. Start seeing yourself on a new path, in a new way, with a new future. Anything is possible if you can believe God for it, girls. Get out of the rut. Turn on the wick. Light up the lamp. And let's let the God colors come out through us.